Good evening, Internet.
Isn't there supposed to be music?
No, we don't have music anymore. Has it been a while since you've listened to the show?
Yes.
Probably since the last time you were on.
No, I might have listened once since then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a long commute, and also...
Oh, I see.
I don't have a car built after 1999, so... And I don't have a cell phone. So, yeah, it's hard for me to do technology. I'm talking to you on a rotary right now.
And and it's hard for the radio waves to get through the Faraday cage in your house. So
exactly. Yeah. I don't commute in my actual house anymore, Alan. I have an actual car for commuting. Oh. My house stays put now.
Oh, good.
I no longer a camper top on top of my Mazda Brat.
Wow. You're not worried about the man finding you?
No, I am the man. I'm
now. Okay. Well, our special guest host tonight is T-Bolt. If you're not familiar with T-Bolt, he's...
Read by dozens daily.
Yes. We're going to talk about that. But T-Bolt used to call in to the Squirrel Report and amuse us when the Squirrel Report was a call-in show. You know, in case we have any new listeners, you can go back and, you know, go through the archives.
I was trying to hunt down that Major.
Major Caudill?
Yeah, that bastard.
Yeah.
I'll catch him one day.
He's a slippery one.
He's my white whale.
Oh, man.
So what's been happening?
Yeah, since last time we talked, it was, it's been like years. I mean, we've...
Long, long time. The traitor Manning did manage to win the Senate race.
Lost. That's good news.
80-6.
I'm surprised that he was even allowed to run. You know,
there is some UCMJ thing. He's still under the UCM. He still gets paid by the military. He's still under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And part of the UCMJ is you can't run for public office when you're under the legal authority of the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
So how I'll tell you all about it. Yeah, it's...
Nobody wants to see him back in a military court, so they don't subpoena him to appear because everybody's sick of his shit.
Wow.
So Senator Adams' apple isn't gonna be on the Senate. Well, this time, maybe next time.
Senator Adams' apple.
So
he lives like 10 miles from me right now.
Do you go visit?
Never. He lives in Bethesda.
Do you protest at his house?
No, I do not. I do not throw things
harass him in Mexican restaurants.
Burn animals and throw it on his porch.
No?
No, I don't do that.
I bet he would love a friendly visit from a constituent.
I'm not a constituent.
Oh boy!
Yeah, but he didn't.
I would need video for that.
My state senator tried to go for the promotion. He tried to go for the governor's spot. He's the one that kissed his husband on an ad and saying, "Take that, Trump!" Mwah.
Did he lose?
Yeah, he kind of lost, and I think the reason he lost is he doesn't know how to kiss. I don't got a problem with the gay thing, but man, you can't kiss your way out of a wet paper bag. It's just embarrassing. I'm not going to let somebody that incompetent run my state. But, you know, that was the Democrat primary. He lost. The two front runners was a guy from Baltimore and a guy from PG County, which is southeast of Washington, D.C. The guy from PG County was more of a Bernie type. The guy from Baltimore was more of a regular Democrat. the Bernie type won that primary. He's going up against Governor Hogan, the only governor with a 70% approval rating in the country, and a Republican to bat in a 66% Democrat state. I don't think he's that worried. Nobody is sick of the governor's stuff, so he'll probably get reelected.
Yeah, that's well. Plus, you know, it seems like the Bernie Bros are winning a lot of primary elections this cycle, which is
well. So did Bernie.
Well, yeah, but that's got to be making the, you know, it's like, you know, it's like the, you know, it happens all the time where the magic confluence of events puts the GOP in a perfect position to fuck it up and lose it.
To know, burn.
They could coast in and win even more Senate seats than they have now. Except that, you know, they're going to do something to screw it up.
Yeah. They forgot how to fight against commies.
Yeah. I'm not sure they ever actually knew how to fight against commies.
Not since Nixon.
Yeah.
They need some pumpkins.
They're too nice.
You know what? It's funny. You know, there's the only actual commies around anymore are like in Venezuela and the U.S. You know, even North Korea is like saying, yeah, this was a big mistake.
Well, they're the only ones that can afford it. Well, not the Venezuelans.
Yeah, not anymore.
That's late stage. Yeah.
They won't last the year.
I think there's like 4 cows left and they're really, really scared of the whole country.
Well, and was it Chile is going like, man, we need a wall.
The Andes Mountains aren't tall enough.
Yeah, they're climbing the mountains and trying to get out of Venezuela. It's really bad.
Well, they've eaten all the zoo animals, I think.
Oh, yeah. They waited until they got skinny. You got to eat the zoo animals early when they're still well marbled.
Zebra jerky. You know.
Speaking of well marbled, have you taken the fire pit out for another test drive there, Brita?
We cooked hot dogs on it.
That doesn't count.
I know. We just haven't had time. And every weekend has been raining, so.
Well, the puss bucket.
Yeah, that's the way it works here. It's like, what do you call one, you know, what do you call a sunny day after 2 days of rain?
Monday.
Yeah, that's how it is here. We're going to have a nice weekend this weekend, so hopefully we'll be able to try something. But honest to God, those were the best hot dogs I've ever had.
Smoky.
Yeah, they were smoky and delicious. So,
in Washington, D.C., of course, if it's a work day, it's in the mid-80s and dry. And if it's Saturday and Sunday, it'll be in the upper 90s and muggy. So I got that to look forward to on Saturday. And I got to go to gun school.
Yay, gun school. We wanted to talk about gun school.
Gun school.
Now, I want, for our new listeners, I wanted to give you an opportunity to promote your blog, your internationally known, highly read blog. So if you want to give everybody the, you know, your blog site.
There'll be a link to it on the...
Yeah.
New Jovian Thunderbolt. I'm like the last one that still talks about guns.
is that the state of the blogosphere now? Like we all met through the gun blogs. Like there was right. Like, you know, there was this big community of gun blogs and very active and kind of like everybody was linking to each other. And then something happened.
It was a golden age.
It was a golden age of blogging. We all met during that time. And it was kind of an important time as far as the Second Amendment was concerned. Like, you had the Heller thing.
Heller, yeah.
You know, and so it was really active and kind of inspiring. And we all kind of wrote and played off each other and linked to each other. And everybody was friends. And it was great. And then something happened. And
Money.
Oh, the SEOs. Yeah, that kind of ruined it. That's
People yeah. discovered, hey.
Hey, I can make money off of this and write whatever crap I want. But You're one of the like original kind of gun bloggers that actually is still blogging about guns and about shooting. And you blog every day, don't you?
Yep. I haven't missed a day. I haven't missed a day in 11 years. July.
Crazy.
About 11 years now. I got 6,000 posts.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think Boar Patch has more posts than me, and he's like a year younger. And so is who's the guy in Arizona with one leg that is a hermit, lives in a house. Can I get off?
Is it the left leg?
Yes, I think it is. It's always the left.
Maybe in this hemisphere. Maybe in the southern hemisphere, it's always the right.
There's a... Damn it. Not the truth about guns. There's tea.
That's, talk about ruining the gun blogs.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's him, Gun Free Zone. Only thing Tam blogs about now are cameras.
Oh.
Bobby never really was big on guns, but you know she blogs daily still. But she's more like in pain all the ultimate answer to Kings.
Oh,
he's somewhere in Arizona, somewhere in the desert,
mm-hmm.
Living off the grid, except for you know, he calls in blogs, and mm-hmm. he's into AKs and living like a hermit. So he's fun to read. He's got game cams up. He's got a cougar somewhere on it, around him. He picks up cows a lot, but you know there's a cougar that's been sniffing at his camera.
Huh.
So that's a lot of fun. Uncle says Uncle still blogs about every eighth day. Lately, it's been a little more frequent, but firearm blogs still the same. They came up the same time I did.
Hmm.
But yeah, they're in money.
Right.
Isn't many out here anymore. Just me. And I never put up an ad. You know, maybe it's not too late.
You can put a squirrel report thing on this on your link. We'll maybe like there send you beer money or something.
Yes, the 101st caller will win $1 million if you call the squirrel report.
And that ship has sailed.
And I'll put in the number, and we'll have a lot of fun with that. Yeah, where'd you get all that prize money from? Boy, what are you, a tool of Bloomberg? Oh, this is one of those under-the-radar things, isn't it?
So we did want to have you on and talk about your gun school.
Gun school is two things.
Yes.
It's learning to shoot. Using the simulator and the local range.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is helping him, being his assistant dude, when he's teaching other people how to make a gun. And that's what I'm doing tomorrow, or Saturday and Sunday, is the gun school one. The make a gun version of gun school. And every other weekend, it's go over there to shoot and get better.
How do you make a gun?
You get a frame. And you put a slide on it, and you put a barrel in the slide, and you put all little parts and bits in it, and then you go shoot it.
So you're talking about building one from parts, not like machining one.
Right. Okay. You'd buy, there's very little machining involved, but all the parts are oversized. So they don't fit together. You know,
you have to file them to fit.
You have to file them down to fit, and that's the whole, it's all the smithing fitting bits. Which, why don't you just use a machine to do that? Well, you can, but they won't fit as tight. You got to whisper at a time in order to make them fit. You know, you can't even do that with, I'll just use my machine. I can get it accurate down to 10,000. No, you got to, like, fit this part to this part, and this part's kind of slanted, and this hole goes a little off an angle, and you got to, nothing is perfect anymore. If everything was perfect, yeah, you could machine it. But it's a pride. You know, we always have one or two machinists in the classes Oh, this is easy. No, it isn't. This is hard. Oh, technically, we could probably do a class for 8 weekends just on how to file.
Is it because the modern production method has looser tolerances?
Well, the original production method, the John Moses Browning, if you were to like get his, you know, serial number 098 of his production run at Colt after he won, you know, the Army contract, it's going to rattle a little bit. It's going to be, the tolerances are going to be loose. And if the tolerances are loose, you're not going to get the consistency with the shooting. What we're doing is we realize that, hey, yes, there's loose tolerances on a production gun that's well made at the factory, but loose like a Glock is today. Glocks are just cheaper, but they're sort of drop in parts. But you know, we could make it so they're much more, they fit together much more than you can with a modern. You can't do that with a, you know, 1990s technology gun. You could do that with a 1911. You can't do that with a Beretta 92, or it's much more difficult to accurize it.
Can't do it at all with a Glock.
To make it perfectly fit together. I think the Army went back to just 1911s for the Army Marksmanship Unit, but there was a time when the gunsmith was there that they say, make a Beretta work as well as our 1911s. And they went, oh my God. And it's a pain. But it can be done.
Wow.
He just will never, ever, ever do one again.
So you just focus on the 1911s then?
Right. It's a lot easier to accurize a 1911 than it is to accurize a Beretta, which is a lot easier to accurize than, say, the SIG.
Now,
is it 360 or 360? Whatever the new Army gun is.
Pay any attention to them.
The new SIG.
Yeah, I know... Now there used to be a lot of like competition 1911s that were like hand fitted and stuff, and they had a lot of problems with breakage. But I think that was a lot of that was because of the tweaks they were doing to make it have like a faster lockup and stuff like that.
I don't know where I would have to know where they were breaking from to know what the problem was.
A lot of times it's springs and extractors and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, those will break. I mean, they're pulling the trigger 50,000 times,
right?
And rebuilding the guns over and over again until they're worn out. So yeah, they break a lot of stuff. The truck goes along with them to competitions and it's filled with guns. That then work on. In fact, they work on other teams' guns for them sometimes.
Oh, nice.
You know, if they're being friendly and all that. Yeah. You know, they end up with like free cases of beer for the gunsmiths from like Team SIG or whatever when they, this gun isn't safe. It's not going to pass the safety. Well, how do I fix it? Well, it's not that hard. Here's a case of beer. Okay. So it's just shooters. The shooters at, when somebody, I shot the competition for blah, blah, blah. The shooters on the Army Marksmanship Unit aren't allowed to take the gun apart. Your shooters, not gunsmiths.
Really?
Yeah. Don't do that. Stay out of there.
So they shoot, and then they turn it back over to the armorer when they're done.
Right.
And he cleans it and does whatever and tweaks
don't,
it.
Don't.
That's
don't,
interesting.
Don't do, yeah, don't you do it. In fact, they have problems with that. When they... go to competitions, the guns stay out on a table in the sun in the summertime. The gunsmiths aren't allowed to bring any other lube except for FP10, shooter's choice. That's just the lube they figured out that it doesn't get thinner when it gets hot. So it doesn't get extra slippery when it's 150 degrees because it's been sitting in the sun. So if they brought the molybdenum grease, which when it gets hot, it gets runny, and it gets more slick, they're not allowed to bring that because if it gets hot, then if you've lubricated a gun with it and it had a 3-pound trigger, which is passing when they arrived, and it sits out on the table, and now it's got a 1.5-pound trigger, and they do a spot check while it's sitting on the table, someone get disqualified from the competition because the wrong grease was in there. And that's another reason why you don't let the shooters in the gun, because the shooter... will say, oh, I love this grease. It helps it much shoot much better. I'll just lather that with that. No, that's bad. Don't do that.
So all the gunsmiths use the same lube for the competition.
Right.
So it's like a across the board, like a standard.
FP10 shooter's choice. Yep. You can get some yourself. It's at your local gun store, I'm sure. Very common. They use Hoppies and FP10.
No, that's interesting. I would have never thought about like having like a everybody use the same lubricant.
You know? Hoppies 9 to clean it. FP10 to lubricate it. And molybdenum grease for inside. A little bit. That stuff's really stainy, too. If it gets on your clothes, the only way to get it out is with Fels Naphtha. You ever use Fels Naphtha?
Yes.
That's good stuff. Good for grease.
Good for cleaning off cosmoline, too.
Yes. It's as dirty as cosmoline. Filthy dirty.
So they don't use Brake Free, CLP?
No.
Which is funny, because that's all they'd let us use in the Marine Corps.
That's what you use in basic training, is.
Yeah.
I don't know who Brake Free bribed in order for that to happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Brake Free's fine, but Hoppies to clean, FP9. Oh, lost one of my ears. I can't hear you anymore.
Uh-oh. Sorry. Still there?
Sorry about that.
You lost his earbuds.
Yeah.
Somebody gave me these faulty earbuds. Thank you, Brita.
You're welcome. Keep them in your ears. They're supposed to fit in your ear.
Well, maybe I have non-standard ears as well.
You got to take the aluminum foil off first. I'm sorry. There's no way around it.
I'm in my home. I don't need aluminum foil. The Faraday cage works here.
Awesome.
So you talked about the gunsmithing portion of gun school.
Right.
I want to talk about the shooting practice.
Ah.
Because you, on your blog, for the longest time, have been putting up targets.
Right.
Showing your progress and your not progress and what you tried and like, you know, the different things you've tried and how it affects your shooting is really interesting.
Right. The reason I did that is when I first started blogging, I was looking around for somebody to tell me how to do this. Somebody's bound to have blogged that will tell me how to shoot better. Mm-hmm. Nobody did.
Right.
So I tried to fill that niche a little bit with my own fumblings. And it was years and years of crappy fumblings. And, you know, all this practice in the simulator certainly has helped quite a bit.
So during the time that you felt like you were not making any progress in your shooting, because I know it was frustrating for you, did you ever discover, like, what the problem was?
Yes.
Okay. Share with us.
It's very simple.
Okay.
You got to relax.
Yes.
You got to focus on the front sight.
Okay.
And you got to pull the trigger good.
Oh, okay.
That's the only three things you need to do. Oh. It doesn't matter where your feet are, as long as you're relaxed. And you know how to make the trigger. Everybody knows how to make the trigger go good, whether they know it or not. You know, if you've shot more than, you know, 300 rounds and people have told you about surprise break and all that stuff and you've thought about it a little bit, everybody knows how to make the trigger go good. Don't jerk it. Is usually
right.
So, and it's just make the trigger go good. You know how to do this. If you overthink it, or you stop being relaxed, or you start looking at your target to see where the hole's going to go, none of these things are going to work out for you. You ever see people when they're shooting on like videos and stuff like that? Their shoulders or their heads hunched way down.
Yes.
Or hunched way up. They are not relaxed.
No.
They're not shooting as well. One of the guys that my gunsmith worked with was a guy named Max Michel. Now, Max Michel doesn't relax his grip. He's got a grip so tight that his gun stops working. Then they go, why is your gun not working? And then he relaxes his grip a little bit, and you hear the bullets in the magazine go, choo, 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 choo. He was gripping
his
gun so hard the bullets could go up the magazine.
Wow.
Holy shit.
But that's the only thing that's hard. If you were to touch his elbow, it's kind of relaxed. The shoulders are relaxed. When he presents his gun up to his face, to where his eyeballs are looking, it mm-hmm. looks like he's having a conversation and just sort of gesturing with his hand. Everything looks so relaxed. He says, mm-hmm. hi, bang. But if you were like, if you had like a body part in his grip, you'd have fewer bones. You'd have more bones, I guess, because he'd grind two of them together and make them separate. But the only thing he does hard, and that helps him for repeated shots.
Right.
The gun doesn't move. So the other thing is, if you relax your grip and the recoil happens, as long as you don't tense up, the pistol bounces right back to where you were looking.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty quickly. It happens pretty fast. So if you do the death grip, which a lot of people, you know, that's a whole...
grip it 20% harder.
Right. That's a whole way of thinking for shooting well, and it works. Mm-hmm. You know, look at Max Michelle. He's gripping it real hard. Look at Jerry Mikulik. He's got, you know, hands the size of canned hams, and they're made out of steel. Or, if you're relaxed, it just bounces up and down right into place, the front sight's right where you were just looking. It just came right back, and that's the relaxed one. Also that people say, oh, slow is smooth, and smooth is fast. And people go, that's bullshit. No.
it's not.
There's a version of that that ain't bullshit at all. I'm doing like under time trials and trying to go fast. Go fast, 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 fast. And then I go, I'm going to try to go slow and smooth. And you look at the times, you go, holy crap, it's a second faster. And I thought I was going slow. No, you were going fast.
Huh.
Smooth is fast. I'm not faster than the gunsmith, and he's not faster than Max Michelle. But see, that's why he did learn how to... He wasn't the best shooter when he came to the Army. You know, he'd shot a lot. But he tried to become as good a shooter as he could by hanging out with the shooters, mostly so he could understand what they were talking about. When they say, I need this, he needed to speak their language so he could adjust the guns for them.
Mm-hmm.
So he could, like, work around Max Michelle's needs and this crush grip of his. But you know, somebody else would be different. He'd have to do something different for them. And so he got better doing all this stuff. And, you know, he went to all, like, the SIG Master Academy and all. He got all the credentials in order to
mm-hmm.
have something to hang on the wall, pretend like he knows. But he says the big advance he got was the simulator that he bought for the security company he was working with. You know, because he could play with that every day for an hour a day, and you get kind of good at that, and you figure things out.
So is a simulator like a computer program or some sort of
it's like
camera setup or like a widget? Like what
it's
do you
like
do?
A TV projector
okay.
that you have, like you watch TV with that projector behind you, or uh-huh. in an office that's doing like the PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
So it projects like targets or, you know, a school shooting that you know, people are in it and there's a camera watching
mm-hmm.
and inside the Glock that you have in your hand, instead of, you know, rounds, it's got a laser.
Okay.
And camera next to the projector senses where the laser hits are. And it knows that this spot on this thing at this time is a, you know, is a hit on the bad guy or it's a hit on the target. So that's how it knows to.
Or you just shot the hostage.
Right. Yeah. And I'd shoot that damn hostage and the best shot I ever have, like, you know, right in the middle of the breastbone, he turned around to his goddamn cell phone.
Oh, no.
Sorry, buddy. I'll see you in court. Well, I'll see your family members in court because that was a really good shot. You know, the perfect shots are always the wrong ones.
Hmm.
Seems like a good way to practice without, you know.
It does.
Right. He used to have, like, there's a way to make recoil in the gun by having a little weight that goes back and forth.
Mm.
The gun jump a little bit in your hand. Right. Said, people were getting a flinch from that.
Oh.
Trying to train.
It's very easy to pick up a flinch.
Right.
I think dry firing without recoil is probably a really good way. I mean, that's why people preach dry firing so much, right? Because it teaches you trigger control without the bang and the...
And that's the joy of the simulator. It's like dry fire, but you're actually hearing bangs and you're hearing, you know, the gun go and you're seeing the target smash. If it's like a cartoon glass bottle, it smashes. And that's kind of cool looking. But you're also firing like 600 rounds in a session. Your finger's tired and your wrist is tired at the end of it, your forearm. But you didn't spend $600. Oh, I guess it'd be $300 worth of ammo.
That's the real problem, because I about 10 years ago, I decided I would do like serious shooting.
Practice. Yeah.
And I got, I got involved in IDPA and did a lot of, I mean, I was like going, like every weekend I was going and I was trying to go to the regular gun range and shoot. And it just got so damn expensive.
Oh yeah.
And then the ammo crisis happened and it got too expensive to practice. I mean, literally,
right.
unless you were like a factory, unless you had some, you know, like you were independently wealthy or had some sort of
sponsor, or you were Jay.
Yeah. You couldn't afford to shoot.
Yeah.
So
it was, but he, when he had like the training simulator up and he had a storefront, so he was doing strangers were coming in for their half hour session. He would have to replace springs in a Glock. The trigger springs, the return and the reset for his trigger would wear out. You know, it'd be because you know, 500, right? 500 wow. rounds a session. Click, 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 click.
Yeah,
click.
I guess.
And he would have to replace Glock parts. It's a good thing he's a gunsmith. All the time, he'd wear them out.
Firing pins and springs and
right.
What kind of simulator is this? I mean, is there a brand name or what?
There is a brand name. I have no idea what it is.
Oh.
I'd have to ask him. It's the $60,000 one.
Oh, the
gun range nearby has a cheap one that's not as good. It has fewer points. You know, the grid where it can see a hit is coarser than his. Hey, you want to buy it? I think he's selling it. He's closing down the gunsmith shop come January.
Well, I was just thinking it'd be really nice, but, you know, $50,000, that'll buy a lot of ammo.
Yeah, well, you might get it for 20.
Yeah, that's still a lot of ammo.
that's like three guns.
Yeah, yeah.
$20,000, that's three guns.
Yeah, that's more than that.
Well, I buy expensive guns now.
I think I think the most expensive gun, let me think about this for a minute.
Your burp gun.
No, actually, that one, when I bought that one, they were really cheap comparatively. It was only like $600.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Did you buy it in the 80s?
It was in the early 90s.
Oh, so, good for you. What an investment.
Yeah, it was back before the, it was post 86, but before, you know.
They got rare.
Right. No, the most expensive gun was probably the Colt Python.
Yeah. When did you buy it? After Walking Dead?
Last year.
Fool. Yeah, you screwed the pooch on that one.
Well, actually, the prices on those have come back down again. I got this one for just under $3,000. So.
You ought to trade your machine gun for a Ma Deuce. They're probably about the same.
No. Not even
price wise. Why wouldn't they be? I understand Ma Deuces are pretty cheap because people want to get rid of them because they're tired of feeding it.
I can't even imagine that.
Yep, it's like they sell them by the pound.
No way.
Yeah, they're relatively cheap for a machine gun. You spend a lot more on a BAR, say, than you would on a Ma Deuce.
Really?
Yeah, because a Ma Deuce.
He's thinking time. About it now. Really? Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love one
but
of those.
It's still $5 a pop for boomies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 20 rounds is $100.
You know, it's funny. I have the 9mm submachine gun, and I hardly ever shoot it.
Exactly.
Even though 9mm is fairly cheap. I mean, you just feed it the cheapest, shittiest ammo you can find, and
right.
But I don't know. It's just, you know, it's fun, but it's also kind of boring. So
yeah, because the gunsmith is he's that type of manufacturer. He has a Glock 18. He made himself, and that's perfectly legal. Problem is, when he closes up shop in January, he's got to get that to another FFL. He can't give it to. He can't sell that to just any old person.
He can't keep it for himself.
No, he cannot. Not when he could be. He has to be an FFL while he has it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Same thing with his full auto AR that he also made himself. Which he's got all the paperwork for it and everything. Mm. But you can't keep that when you're not an FFL.
It's also a post 86.
Right, which is why he can only circulate it amongst FFLs or police officers or gotcha. or police departments or what have you. His suppressors are his. Those are in his name, and those are cool. And he can make suppressors, until January. But
why is he shutting down? Just tired of it or no money?
Tired of it. He hates dealing with like most gunsmith, he's a horrible introvert.
Oh. worse than me or Brita?
Worse. Much worse.
Wow.
Horrible.
Yes. First time I met him, I go, this guy's an asshole. He just hates people. So that his kids are getting up to an age where they can, they're going to need to be homeschooled, and he's going to do that. He's got books to write. He's promised a textbook to some of the gunsmithing schools that he's taught at in Montana and North Carolina. I think it's North Carolina. So he's going to write a textbook on, building 1911s for them. He's got some other books in mind. But I bet he can. And the next time he does this, he just wants to do it out of his own house. He doesn't want to have like a storefront. In order to be an FFL out of your own house, you have to actually own the house. You can't rent. So he's got to deal with buying a house first.
Well, you also have to be in an area zone for
home
business.
He's going to be out in the toward Front Royal. If you're familiar with the Washington, D.C. area.
Not in the least.
There's Washington, D.C., and then you get on a road called 66. Route 66. And you go out west, and you pass by NRA headquarters. Hey, hello. You go a little bit further, you pass by Jay's house. Yeah, hi, Jay. And you keep going, and then you get to a part where, you're enough in the country now that you don't have to hunt with shotguns. You can hunt with rifles now. Then you go a little bit further and you get almost to the Shenandoah River. That's Front Royal. It's like 60 miles west of D.C., due west. It's just a road that goes due west out of D.C. And Front Royal is where it ends, and that ends at Route 81, which is a north-south road. Right? And it goes through the Shenandoah Valley to the south, and it goes up through Pennsylvania to the north. It's out in the country. It's serious, it's so out in the country that people don't even have cows anymore because, it's too far away from the market. Nobody's going to bring a cow all the way out here. It'll starve to death. So out there, nobody cares if you have a business. In fact, they kind of encourage that.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's good deer hunting areas.
Are you going hunting this year or no?
I don't know. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't mind the killing. But it's all the heavy lifting and the dirty and it smells funny.
You need a crew for that. You need to do it like the old African safari hunters where you had a guy carrying your rifles for you and reloading, and you had another crew that would carry the game after you killed it. And
In our hunting area, I found the perfect spot to set up a deer stand. So I set up a deer stand there, and I couldn't go out on opening day. Marty did, and he sat in my deer stand, and he got a monster buck.
Oh.
And it, like, filled three freezers. It was so big.
Oh, my gosh. And he
didn't do anything with it because it's too big. He just got into the truck, got his brother-in-law to help him, and got to the truck, and they drove it to a butcher, and they took care of all that for him. And then this is the brother-in-law that's got, like, 80 sobs.
Mm-hmm.
They built a garage where my deer stand was that holds, like, 20 sobs.
Oh, my God.
A huge warehouse building filled with cars. That was the perfect spot.
Kind of puts a crimp on the deer hunting.
Yeah, there's plenty of other places
they,
on that.
They build you a platform on the roof?
No.
That might work.
Hey. Yeah, that, you know, you can be covered and drink coffee while you're hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that property is filled with chiggers.
You know, chiggers.
I can't go out there until there's like a good frost to kill off the chiggers. Oh.
You also have those meat allergy ticks.
They say that.
That I am so afraid of those.
There's also the hogweed in Virginia.
Yes. You will want to kill yourself if you touch it.
Right. It gives you a plant that's like poison ivy, but mm-hmm. instead of giving you little bumps, it gives you third degree burns.
And then for years afterwards, you are sensitive to the sun.
Right.
Like where it touched you.
There's a little tiny area in a county far, far away. People are panicking. It's a fake news story.
No.
There's like three plants of this far away in Virginia. It is not spreading. But people are freaking out. Oh, God, I could never go birding again.
It's like biological warfare.
I can only go birding downtown Washington, D.C. Yeah, I think you're in a lot more danger.
That's a good place to do it.
What? Go birding or go planting hogweed?
Either, you know.
Yes, yes.
Either or.
Birding.
Speaking of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to discuss the recent Supreme Court things.
I blogged about that. I'm not impressed.
Super exciting.
Well, go ahead, Rita.
Another, you know, Supreme Court nominee by Trump. We already had Gorsuch, who has been, you know, he's been working out pretty good.
You know who Kennedy was supposed to be?
Who?
Bork.
Oh.
That's true.
Yeah. They're going to play, oh, you can't replace. We wanted Bork this whole time. You wouldn't let us have him, so shut up. Shut up, Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the reason why we don't have Bork. Joe Biden is also the reason we now have Gorsuch.
Yep.
And we're going to have whoever Trump picks. It's because of Joe Biden. Joe Biden and Harry Reid.
That's right. Harry Reid. Boy, that bit them in the butt, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Things you do when you think you're going to be in charge forever.
Democrats? Why do they think that? That's bizarre to me.
Yeah, they believe their own polling.
Or do they not
polling.
Care?
No, they believe their own polling.
Republicans are the stupid party, but there's one or two or three things where the Democrats, you know, just really move the needle on stupidity too. Yeah, on these things, we're the king on stupidity, and that was one of them.
There's people yelling outside my house. Sorry.
Oh, I thought...
Nature.
Stay away from my nature. Muscles, is what I heard. Is somebody chasing somebody?
Nah, I don't know what's going on out there.
Well, I think it's a toss up, I guess, which is the more important thing. I mean, obviously, picking a new Supreme Court justice is a big deal. It's huge.
It is huge.
And yet another reason Trump is being the best not Hillary president ever.
Mm-hmm.
This would be Hillary's second pick.
Yeah, exactly. And we'd have a, you know, well, anyway, I don't even want to think about it. But the recent, the decision they came out with on, what was it, Thursday or no, Wednesday, about the public unions.
That's a big deal.
Was amazing because it really breaks the back of the public unions because, you know, the only reason they exist is because if you wanted one of those jobs, you were forced to join the union and pay dues.
Right.
They've already shifted their money sources from unions to rich Hollywood types and billionaires anyway.
Yeah, but the unions were still a huge slush pile of money.
Right.
Democrats. Yeah.
What was it? Reuters, I think it was, had a headline that said something about how, you know, Democrats are, you know, changing their funding because they're going to get less money from unions. And it's like, and that's why the court ruled how it did, because the unions gave $0 to any other candidate but Democrats.
Right.
And, but
very relationship,
but, you know, I mean, think about it. If you, you know, you get a job working for the government, you used to have to join the union. You didn't have a choice and pay dues. Now, you don't have to. Now, if you get the same job and you have the choice of paying money or not paying money, how many people do you think are going to choose to pay?
Yes, definitely. That's always been a concern of mine with libraries here, because the library where I work, we're non-union, but most every other library in the area is union, and you have to join the union.
Close shops.
Yeah, you have to. And it's always been like, well, I'd love to go work somewhere else, maybe potentially, like to, you know,
get a promotion.
But at the same time, it was like, oh, well, you know, you'd be making more in salary, but how much of that will be union dues? Mm-hmm. Like, is it really worth?
Yeah. Not anymore.
What's the impact on you now? Does that mean you can now go to another library and not have to pay union dues?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked into it, but maybe.
So this could change your life.
Maybe. Well, it's going to change a lot of people's lives. I mean, the unions are already declining drastically in the private sector. I mean, the public sector unions were the only place there was any growth, and that's just because government's growing like crazy. But you take this away, and they're going to. I bet within a couple of years you see union membership drop at least by half, if not more.
It's like Scott Walker, but for the whole nation.
Yeah, exactly. And since it's a Supreme Court decision, there's no way around it.
Right.
It applies to everywhere.
Temporary injunction until the appeal. Oh, wait, we're done with that now.
Yeah, no such thing. Yeah. it was a big deal. Now that Kennedy's retiring, you know, Trump, you know, unless the Republicans are stupid,
Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Majority leader.
He's
smiling
he worries me because he could screw this up.
I'm surprised he didn't screw up the Merrick Gorsuch thing.
Yeah, so exactly.
Giving him the benefit of the doubt.
But
I think Turtle Mitch, this could be like his legacy and everybody will love him for it.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, his buddies will love him for it, which is important. Right. I think they can. Even Jeff Flake was getting on the train, for God's sake.
That's surprising.
Yes. Very surprising.
I expected him to be a spoiler.
Right. But he's already made signals he's not going to be.
Oh, which good.
Is amazing.
This
isn't that big a deal. This is a Republican president replacing a Republican nominee, right. BFD. I want to see a Republican replace one of the four on the other side. A Sotomayor,
yeah.
I got to retire because of my diabetes. Or Breyer, I'm getting really old. I got to go.
You know,
Ruth Bader Meinhof or whatever her name is.
If Trump wins another term, he could. It's entirely possible one of those four could go.
Could Scalia on him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they'll hang on tooth and nail as much as they can. Right. But
and there's a good chance that the Senate majority will increase.
Yep.
This November. Okay, you want us to wait? We're just going to get somebody nastier. Make us pick in December. You're not going
to
like it.
I'm trying to think who would be more of a constitutional originalist than Gorsuch, and I'm drawing a blank. I'm not sure.
Ted Cruz.
Maybe Cruz. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Thumb in your eye for the next 40 years.
Well, oh my gosh.
Wouldn't that be awesome? I would hate to lose him in the Senate though. That would,
right.
That's, well, that's a
Greg
tough
Abbott pick. Would pick somebody.
Yeah, I don't really
I don't know how that. Senate picks the I don't know how Texas picks their really their senator if one goes away.
I don't trust Abbott that much.
No, yeah, I don't either.
Hmm.
He'd make a great Ted Abbott would make a great Maryland governor. I wouldn't mind having him here. But yeah. You know, Larry, the same thing.
You know, but even more fun than those two events has been watching the Democrats just go apoplectic over the Supreme Court. It was like, you know, Tuesday, the only thing in the world that mattered was children being separated from their parents at the border.
They have completely forgotten about that.
And today, the only thing that matters is, you know, get your abortion while you still can.
Right. Got to get extra abortions now.
You know, stock up or something. I don't know. I'm not sure how that would work, but they're working on it. It's amazing.
Whoopi Goldberg wants the next Supreme Court justice to stay out of her vagina.
Well, okay.
I've got some good news for you, Whoopi. You never have to worry about getting an abortion ever again. You're all right. You're good.
I don't think that's a worry.
Yeah, that is now not your worry. You're done with that. You know, have all the nookie you want there, lady. You're doing fine.
Ew.
I was going in another direction, but okay. Oh, man. It's it's crazy, and
you have grown men like crying in the shower, you know,
or claiming they did. Who knows?
I actually think that tweet was originally by a woman, but regardless, you know, come on, let's be grown ups. This is what happens in politics. This is the state of the world, like from the beginning to the end of humanity.
Right.
Get on with your shit. Turn off your Twitter. Go outside and take a walk. Like, literally turn off your phone and go outside and get some fresh air and take a walk and stop staring at a screen and, like, listening to the echo chamber for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, go pet a cat. Go take a walk. Go sit in the sunshine. You'll feel better. It'll be better for everybody. Talk to your neighbors. Go down the street. Talk to, like, people who are not on Twitter 24/7.
Oh.
You know, who live actual real lives and work for a living and, you know, are just people. Go talk to them. Say hello. They're your neighbors. You know, you'll feel better. It's therapeutic.
Twitter is such a sewer.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. And
speaking of Twitter, New Jovian Thunderbolt has a Twitter account. I got like zero followers. You know, like I think
the Squirrel Report has a Twitter account.
Miguel, I think, is one of my only followers. Miguel and Rob Allen are my only
tweet?
Followers. I rarely do, but I sometimes do. It's not as important as my others. So if you're listening, go ahead and try to find New Jovian Thunder. You know you found him when you see a cat that looks like Batman. That's me. The avatar of the cat that looks like Batman. You know you found me. Go ahead. Follow me. I need more followers. There you go.
People expect you to tweet things if they follow you, though.
I do, maybe once a week.
Oh, once a week! Wow.
I think it's been literally years since I logged into my Twitter account.
A retweet.
And I think the only thing Brita's done with the score report
I only use it to
enter contests for like makeup and stuff.
makeup and nail polish giveaways.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And speaking of cats.
Yes.
I need a cat report. How's Cosmo?
Oh, he's good.
He learned how to get up on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
How does he do that? Just use his front and just keep pulling and pulling until...
No, actually, he has two methods. One which he, for some reason... Okay, so this is going to turn into a long story.
Okay.
I have three cats.
I know.
Only one of my cats knows how to use stairs. And that's because he grew up in a house with stairs. So he knows how to do stairs. Yes. Amy can't do stairs. She doesn't understand the concept. And Cosmo's the same way. He doesn't understand the concept of stairs.
And he learns from Amy, so he's sort of screwed.
Exactly. So Ponzi, I got these little steps, these little carpet covered steps, and I thought, oh, this will be great because I can put them, you know, in places and Cosmo can, you know, trot up them and everything's fine. Nope. Ponzi does. Ponzi up and down them all the time. But they Cosmo and Amy kind of ignore him. He's, you know.
Odd man out.
He's the funny special cat. So what
Cosmo... He's the weird roommate.
Right. What Cosmo discovered he could do is he could stand on the windowsill, which is about maybe 6 or 7 inches off the ground, and he can jump up into the chair. And once he's on the chair, he can get up on the table.
So. He... can get 7 inches up onto a windowsill.
Right.
He can't get 6 inches up onto it.
It's not that he can't do it. He just doesn't understand the concept. It's like, right. You know, it's like explaining snow to somebody that's never seen it. You know, it's, huh?
It's slippery and white.
Even when he watches the other cat do it, he just, it's just like over his head. He just, it's like, it's foreign concept.
That's so odd.
It is odd.
Because cats are like three-dimensional creatures, you know, they up and down, and they kind of don't have a, you know.
Yep.
Hmm.
But Cosmo, for whatever reason, Cosmo never learned how to do cat things.
Right.
Even when I first got him, he would like do instinctive stuff, like chase toys and play and stuff like that. But as far as doing like cat things. That are like taught, you know how like the mama cats they teach their kittens how to do stuff. He didn't know how to do anything. And so when I got Amy, he was like all of a sudden he's like discovering all these cat things that he'd watch Amy do something and he'd start doing it, and it was really cool. And then but Amy doesn't know anything about stairs either. So
have you ever had a lizard or a mouse in the house?
Oh yeah.
What do the three cats do in that circumstance?
Kill it.
Which one does the killing?
It's a group. I don't think they've gone after anything in this house, but in the previous house, every once in a while, a lizard would get in or a bug. They love bugs.
Sky raisins.
Like the June bugs and stuff like that.
Big sky raisins.
They don't. I don't think they kill them on purpose. They just bat them around until they die of.
So they stop moving.
Whatever. Right. And then it's like, this is stupid. The toy broke. The
toy's dead.
Yeah. And then they just kind of walk away and go, meh. So they're not like, they're not like Brita's cats where they'll go like, hunt. There's a mouse in the basement or something. They'll go hunt
down or
something like that.
Except for Ronan's going, what are you guys talking about?
poor Ronan.
Somehow Ponzi managed to get out the back door one morning, a while back and when I found him, he was sitting in the middle of the backyard with a squirrel about 3 feet away from him, and the squirrel was just yelling at him, and Ponzi was just sitting there, hunched up, just like, you know, what do I do? What do I do?
What do Texas squirrels look like?
It's just the same. It's just a gray squirrel.
The same as yours?
They're skinnier here. They don't have to bulk up.
The squirrels around here are gray or black.
The squirrels at your house
are orange or red.
No, the ones here are kind of gray. They're gray squirrels.
Gray and small.
Yeah. Kind of skinny.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need the fat. Like
no, they don't. I don't think they even hibernate in the winter here. They just...
Nap more. Yeah. But you're in Houston, which is like... south of Mexico.
It seems that way sometimes. We are definitely a subtropical environment.
Yes. So. You have palm trees.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good indicator. You could grow a banana tree on your property.
Yes, I could grow, banana trees, fruit trees, not apple. Apple trees don't grow well down here because they don't get the...
Rita can grow a banana tree.
No, I can't. In my house, maybe.
In the house with a lot more humidity and a lot of grow lamps.
Yes, so not at all. Yeah, I'm jealous of that, actually.
Banana trees do really well unless you get a freeze and then they die.
Yep.
So, but then you can get like a whole banana tree growing up, like, you know, you could plant a little banana plant and have a giant tree before the halfway through summer.
Yeah, my mom in Florida like spent a lot of time cutting back the banana trees, you know, because they would get too big.
Yep, they do that. So,
a lot of action.
And and bamboo also will grow really well.
Oh, we got that problem here. We can get bamboo taking over a house. But that doesn't
count. Yeah, it's gotta be able to withstand the sun and the heat.
So. Yeah. And the flooding.
Meanwhile, it's almost July and my garden is just starting to grow.
That's crazy.
Is going to have a hot weekend up there?
Yes, it's going to be a hot weekend, so I'm expecting like things to go crazy in the garden. So
excellent.
Will you break 80?
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be in the 90s this weekend. Wow. I got to tell this story about my mom. And Mom, I'm sorry. But she may listen to the show, she may not. This is the end of the show, but maybe she'll give up by this time, I don't know. But my mom, yes, she does. She sent me a message today on Facebook, and she saw on speaking of heat waves, she saw a thing on one of the Ireland pages on Facebook. Somebody had posted that it was 110 degrees Fahrenheit in Dublin.
It's impossible,
right? And I said, no, that mom, no. Because they are having a heat wave in Ireland right now. And you know, if you do the... Ireland
would burst into flames.
Right. Exactly. That was my point. And so I went on to Weather Underground and I looked up Dublin, Ireland, and it turned out it was 81. But in Ireland, for Irish people, 81 is really freaking hot. And they're posting pictures on these Irish pages that the roads are melting in Ireland.
Nice.
Like because the roads are all tar, you know, and so the tar is melting and people are driving on the roads and their tires are covered in tar, and then the tires get covered in rocks. And so you have like these, you know, they look like, you know, but so I was like, Mom, it's not possible. You know, somebody has their thermometer out on the blacktop or something in Dublin. It is not possible that it is 110 in Dublin, because if it was 110 in Dublin, like, they would be like airlifting, you know, emergency supplies. And,
oh yeah, it'd be a crisis.
It would be a huge crisis.
People would die.
You'd have poor Irish people falling over left and right. They'd be
bursting into flame. Yeah. You know how we do.
Yes.
So, yeah, not 110 in Ireland today, but although it was very hot by Irish standards.
Probably felt like it.
Yeah. Nobody in Ireland has air conditioning, you know, and all the houses are built to retain heat.
And there's probably a few fans even.
Yeah, so it's a different situation in Ireland, but I think it was like 81. It was in the mid-80s, you know, that's pretty hot.
And you can't acclimate from... No. Irish summer of, you know, high of 81 to 110 degrees, you know, people would swoon.
Yeah, well, yes. You know, I think, you know, it'd be worse than the potato famine for Ireland. Like, lose like 50% of the population would probably die.
If it went to 110 here tomorrow and I didn't have AC, I would be useless.
Right.
I'd be in the basement lying down.
You could always go to the public library. That's what we always suggest when we have a heat wave here. And because a lot of people here don't have air conditioning either. Like, we don't have air conditioning. So, you know, we always put a thing up on Facebook. Come to the library. It's cool. We have air conditioning. I'm like, no. I don't want a bunch of sweaty, smelly people in my...
You already have enough of those.
I know. We're at capacity already.
Well, speaking of weather, we're about to have the giant African dust cloud hit Houston.
What?
Cool.
Yeah, there's a starts off as a sandstorm in the Sahara Desert, and it blows.
Is it called the Haboob?
I don't know what it's called, but
That is a Haboob. Is a Haboob. You think of the right word.
But is it Haboob?
Yeah, the dust cloud comes across, and it comes crosses the Atlantic and comes into the Caribbean and into the Gulf of Mexico, and then the winds are prevailing southerly, and so it just goes whoosh straight up into the coast of Texas, and so we get this like
orange.
Yeah, it's just like this African dust that covers everything.
And, how weird. It comes all that way.
Bizarre. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's supposed to hit this weekend. So.
Does it smell like Ebola?
No. Not really. It does make
does
pretty
it
sunsets.
Coat your truck? Coat your truck?
It does if you leave it out, yeah. It's kind of like the pollen we get in the spring. Where do you...
Woo, woo, woo. Alan can afford a garage. Aren't you fancy?
Not only can I afford a garage, I can afford one that I can fit my truck in, which was a key point for acquiring this house. It was a garage I can put big enough to put my truck in.
That's the thing. If you do get the simulator for shooting, you need to have you can't have just a regular 9-foot ceiling. You're going to have a pretty kind of a warehousey type space. You need, for the projector to work.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. That's going to be.
Another expensive thing is the screen has to be the certain type of movie screen
that of works course.
With you can't just put up a sheet. It won't work.
That seems like something you want to build a business around.
He did.
Yeah.
And he used it for a good few years. Now he's selling it cheap.
Well, good. I hope somebody buys it.
So do I.
You should buy it.
I don't have a place to put it, or I would think about it.
What about the place it's in now?
That's a quasi-industrial garage-type space that used to be an electrician before he took it over, with no windows.
Perfect.
Yeah, right by the Sheets refinery. Well, I guess you'd be familiar with that, being from Houston. It's right next to a refinery.
Perfect.
Or our version of one. And it's close to the really good gun range, but it's still 40 miles from my house.
Oh.
No.
Well,
when you retire.
When I retire, I'm going to Ohio.
Good Lord, why?
For the weather?
Because I hate heat. I'm not going to Florida.
I don't think you would like an entire Cleveland winter. I think you should try it out first before you buy.
I'll find out.
Okay.
I'd buy a roof house. That's cheap enough. Costs about as much as a car.
We'll see.
Have they listed that house on the market yet?
They have not.
Yeah.
My neighbor died. People are probably listening to the show like, what? What?
What are they talking about?
My neighbor died and my next door neighbor died, and they're putting her house up for sale, but it hasn't been listed yet. And it's kind of like an old, it needs a lot of work on the inside, but we'll see.
T-Bolt's going to buy it.
Oh boy. Okay.
I'm going to turn it into an Airbnb.
Oh God. No. All sorts of weirdos would be coming here.
I wouldn't want to rent it out. Cause what if I rented out to a really bad neighbor? I'd be stuck next to you for a whole year.
Well, I know where you live.
Airbnb, you'd be able to say, get rid of them, Schwartz.
Like a new weirdo every week. That'd be great.
Like a sitcom.
Well, you'd be my spy. Tell me they're doing something weird over there. I'll be there in 4 hours.
You know what? We're out of time.
We are.
We are. Great show.
It was. And I don't think there was anything I'm going to have to delete.
Nope.
I don't think so either.
Thanks,
I miss the music.
Thanks for hanging out. Oh, wait, listen.
Oh, cats.
Ronan.
Is it time?
Yep.
It's supper time. Yeah.
Yep. Bonus cats.
Bonus cats. All right. Good night, everybody.
Yep. Good night. Thanks, T-Bolt. It was great having you on.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
Good. All right. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
And we will see everybody next week.